So, a few weeks ago, I mentioned that we were a bit concerned about our monthly income and outgoings because we were actually spending more, quite a lot more, than we've actually got coming in. And so Steve and I were talking about this and we thought maybe we ought to do something to talk about giving. It's a long time since we've had a preach about giving. And I just thought I'd give you the background and how we operate so you know what we're up to. And we're a charitable trust, Charlton and Blackheath Christian Fellowship Trust. There's our charity number there, 809401. And of course, as a trust, we have to operate under charity law. But the advantage of being a trust is that anybody that gives a donation to the church and is a taxpayer, we can claim back that tax. It's called gift aid. You have to give details. David would need your name and address, I think. Is there anything else we need besides name and address, David? No. You just need your name and address so that when we make the final sort of claim, which is usually a couple of times a year, we have to fill it in like that. But we can. So for every pound that you give, we can claim back tax on it. And I've forgotten how it works. It's either because there's 22% tax, isn't there? So we can claim that back, and it increases our income. So that's the advantage of being a trust. We have trustees. You have to have trustees when you're a charity. I'm the chair, although technically I'm called the settler because it's an old-fashioned trust. So I settled the trust in the first place. And then we have David, who is our contact person with the charity commissioners. And then we have Sue and Janice and Peter, who are our trustees. And if you're interested, you can see out. We have to make an annual return to the charity commissioners. And that's just been done. David did that a couple of weeks ago, I think. And if you want to see it, you can just go to the gov.uk website, put in charity register, and if you put our number in, 809401, you will see our annual return. I thought you might be interested to see how the money thing goes. So last financial year, which was April 2022, actually. That's a typo. April 2022 to March 2023, we had an income of just over £30,500. But then look at the next bit. We spent £39,000. And so there's a deficit there of £8,600 or so. That's quite a deficit, isn't it? And then this financial year so far, up to November, the deficit is running at £8,149. So our deficit for this year is going to be bigger than last year. So that's the situation, and it's only fair that you should know what's going on. You might also be interested to know, well, how do we spend this money? So first of all, we support Christian work. So we support Iris Mission. We support Steve a little bit, because he's actually reduced the amount of support that he takes from us. And so we're paying his expenses. And then, of course, we support things like Greenwich Youth for Christ, the Debt Centre, Food Bank, Night Shelter, all these sorts of things. We're giving money. The biggest outlay last year was £12,000, was money being given away to all these various things. And then the next biggest outlay is renting this hall. So this hall, for a year, will cost nearly £10,000 for the year. So you can see how it's going. And then we have our running expenses. And the running expenses over the year turn out at about £14,000, something like that. Fortunately, we don't have to pay a full-time leader. Because if we were paying a full-time leader, you'd be looking at least £25,000-£30,000 more than that if we were paying somebody full-time. So you can see that, you know, we're small, and so and as our numbers have gone down, so our income goes down. We do have some reserves, but every time we have a deficit, it knocks, eats into those reserves, and those reserves will not last forever. Maybe 2 or 3 years, and then we'll really be in trouble. And so we've been talking about this, Steve and I, and we felt it'd be useful to talk about this subject. And the title that we've given this is God's Generosity and Ours. And we split it into two parts, and I'm going to talk about the Old Testament principles of giving, and Steve's going to talk about the New Testament principles of giving. And what we're really asking people to do is to review what they give to the church. So let's look at the Old Testament. What does God's word say about giving? Because our God is a generous giver. The thing we know about God, and it's come out actually in the worship a little bit, that, you know, God is generous to us. And when you think about just giving his son to die for us, that's generous. That's a generous giving, isn't it? Salvation that God will give to us. If we put our trust in Jesus, he saves us for eternity. That's generous. That's generous, isn't it? Really generous. So one of the principles that we operate on, and which the Bible operates on, is that we should give back to God, you know, because of his generosity. And so it's a good idea to think about giving in terms, not just in terms of money, although obviously money is what we're looking at the moment, but to think about it in terms of time. How much time do we give to God? Think about it in terms of our talents. You know, our talents that we got. How do we use our talents and our abilities? In some churches, they talk about Christian stewardship. Time, talents, and money. So that's worth thinking about. Now, when you look at the Old Testament, the main principle of giving in the Old Testament is something that's called first fruits. So they were told that whatever you got, if you've got a crop or if you've got a herd or whatever it is, that the increase of that, the first fruits, belong to God. And that was done in terms of 10%. Or tithing. It's called tithing. And so that's where that principle comes from. It's this idea of first fruits. That God should get the first whack at our, which is a good principle, isn't it? You can see the verse there, Leviticus 27:30-33 says, "A tithe of everything from the land, whether grain from the soil or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord. It is holy to the Lord." And so these patriarchs in the Old Testament, the famous guys in the Old Testament, when you look at their lives, you find that they actually followed this particular principle. For example, Abraham, who later became Abraham, he followed that principle when he just won a battle. This is in Genesis chapter 14. And he came back from this battle, and he gave a tenth, because when they did a battle, they got all the sort of stuff that they got back, the things from the other lot. They used to bring all the stuff back, you know. And so he gave 10% to this interesting guy called Melchizedek. Here's the verse. "After Abraham returned from defeating Chedorlaomer and the kings allied with him," there were a group of kings that he defeated, "the king of Sodom came out to meet him in the valley of Sheba," that is the king's valley. "And then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was priest of the Most High, of God Most High, and he blessed Abraham, saying, 'Blessed be Abraham by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth, and praise be to God Most High, who delivered your enemies into your hand.' And then Abraham gave him a tenth of everything. Interesting guy, Melchizedek. He's often seen, thought to be what we call a Christophany. You may have heard of that word before. Christophany means an appearance of Jesus in the Old Testament. Because we believe that there are occasions in the Old Testament where God actually appears as in human form. And that is that's what we talk about this. So you get this theophany, it's God appearing. Christophany is God as Jesus appearing. And so Melchizedek is sometimes seen as that sort of person. Great, it's a great idea. And in fact, if you read Psalm 110, you'll find that it talks about Melchizedek. He only appears twice in the Bible, once in Genesis and once in Psalm 110. And so the main principle here then is the tithe, the tenth, and that belongs to God. Their giving didn't actually end there, actually, because after they did their tithe, they then had free will offerings and different things that they used to give for. There were all sorts of offerings, thank offerings, free will offerings, and then you find interesting things like heave offerings, which were they were giving, you know, loads of stuff, you know. Imagine it, yeah. And so it's interesting to note also that what David said. Now this is in. I've missed out Jacob. When you remember the story of Jacob's ladder, you remember the story of Jacob's ladder when he had this vision of this ladder going up to heaven, and when he had this vision, he says, "And this stone which I have set as a pillar shall be God's house, and all that you give me, I will surely give a tenth to you." So he's working on that same principle, and then there's David. This is 1 Chronicles chapter 29. This is just before what I was preaching about last week. You remember last week we were preaching about our verse for the year, "If my people who are called by my name," and that was when Solomon had prayed, and God was answering him. Solomon prayed for the blessing of this amazing temple that he'd built. And you remember David wanted to build that temple, but God said, "No, you can't build it because of your sin. Your son will build it." And it's interesting that David here, see what he says, "Therefore David blessed the Lord before all the assembly. And David said, 'Blessed are you, Lord God of Israel, our Father forever and ever. Yours, Lord, is the greatness, the power, and the glory, the victory and the majesty.'" Those are the words I used in communion earlier, you may remember. Okay? "For all that is in heaven and in earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head over all. Both riches and honour come from you. You reign over all. In your hands is power and might. In your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. Now therefore, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. But who am I, who are my people, that we should be able to offer so willingly as this?" And then you get that line there, which is the one I really wanted to concentrate. "For all things come from you, and of your own do we give you." And that principle there is saying actually everything that we have is from God. Everything that we have is from God. And when we give money to the church, and when we give of our time, and when we give of our talents, we're just giving back to God, which actually is His, because He gave it to us in the first place. And so that's why that says, "Of your own do we give you." It's all His. and we're just giving it back. There's one other verse I wanted to mention, and that is a little bit of a disturbing one in some ways, and that's in the prophet Malachi. The prophet Malachi has this real sort of disturbing take on this. And he saw failure to give to God, failure to give the 10%, failure to tithe. He called it robbing God. And he brought the people, and he said it brought the people under a curse if you don't give to God what is his. But giving to God brings abundant blessing. And that's what he says. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. And so there's this whole principle about if you give to God, then he gives to you. He'll give you a lot more. So it's a really, really powerful sort of verse, that one. And so, if you like, in summary, if we want to have an effective ministry in the church, we need to be realistic and sacrificial in the way that we give, and reflect that generosity of God. God's generosity needs to be reflected in what we give. And giving is really part of our worship. And so I want to just end with that line again from David. All things come from you, and of your own have we given you. So that's my sort of introduction from the Old Testament. And I'm going to hand over to Steve now.
Generosity. As I say, it's God's generosity and ours. Your reaction to us speaking like this today could be like this. You could think, money's a private affair, what's it got to do with you? Is the church demanding our money? I don't agree with your interpretation of scripture anyway. Well, all I can do, all we can do is present scripture and say, what do you think? What should we do? That's all we can do in any situation. It's not my idea, it's not Mike's idea. We've got to think, what's right? So hopefully nobody's feeling like that, but if you do, that's okay. Talk to us a lot afterwards. So it's all about talking. The verses I brought are from 2 Corinthians 9 and 8, because basically it's a real live situation, and it was happening. And so Paul's talking to the church, and he says this: but since you excel in everything, in faith and speech and knowledge, in complete earnestness and in love we have kindled in you, see that you also excel in the grace of giving. So he said it's all part of what we're supposed to do. It's all part of life. You could argue that faith and speech and knowledge are all in the mind, they're in the heart, yeah? Well, he's saying, yeah, and it's all, we'll do something about it. You know, let it show outside as well, because you can know if you're giving. And not that everybody else needs to know, but it's something physical that we're doing. Matt Baker, he used to say that religion is what we say, but what we do is what we really believe. That's true, isn't it? In other words, put your money where your mouth is, you know. Giving and serving, James says, is something solid. Because James says, faith without works is dead. It's a sham. So be careful, we're not saying something and we don't follow it up with action. He said, that's not faith, is it? So it's got to be action. Change of behaviour, willingness to do something practical, outward. A change on the inside, or showing a change on the inside. Next verse, verse 8 says, I'm not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love. That's quite an interesting thing, isn't it? Test. I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. He was looking at other churches. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that through his poverty we might become rich. He brings the Lord Jesus in here saying he's an example of giving. Paul says it's a test. Let's follow Jesus in his amazing example of generosity. He's the King of Heaven. He owns everything. Everything that we have belongs to him. He has all power. And yet he gave up absolutely everything. Isn't that amazing? He gave up everything, didn't he? But he gave up everything for us. Now, they began to give, and he wanted to encourage them to continue. But interestingly, it says the next bit, and going back to 2 Corinthians 8, because it all runs together, but I didn't want to read the whole thing. Now, finish the work so your eagerness to do this may be matched by your completion of it according to your means. For if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. According to your means is so important. Yeah? Some are going to be able to give a great deal. Some can just give a little. But in the end, it's not a matter of what you give, it's a matter of the heart. My dad used to say a very interesting thing. If you've got 10 people in the church that are earning, they can support a minister on their average wage. That's quite nice. Not what we've got a minister, but it's quite a nice principle, isn't it? You can see that, yeah? If they're giving 10%. So I had a little joke with a friend of mine the other day. He wanted me to join in and help someone do something. So he said, you give this much, Steve, and I'll give this much. And I said, don't worry, Pete. I'll go without food for a week and I'll be able to do that. But of course, that was a joke. But of course, God's not expecting that. He doesn't want you to go without food for a week. He wants you to give according to your means. Yeah? There may come a time when you go, man, I'm going to give up certain things so that I can give. That's a different thing. That's a specific thing, yeah? But generally, it's a matter of according to our means. And that's very important. Paul says that to the people. The next one, I'm getting older. This is my second sheet, and that's the end of it. We're sending along with him a brother who is praised by all the churches for his service to the gospel. What is more, he was chosen by the churches to accompany us to carry the offering which we administer, in order that the Lord himself to show our eagerness to help. We want to avoid any criticism of the way we administer this liberal gift. For we are taking pains to do what is right, not only in the eyes of the Lord, but also in the eyes of man. Really important, yeah? This is the trustees. He's the trustee. He's being sent along to make sure to spend the money properly. So we're not, you know, Paul isn't going off on his Mediterranean cruise on this. Yeah, he's saying we're going to make sure this guy's with us, and he's been set up by the churches so that we can make sure we spend the money properly. Yeah, so that's a good thing, isn't it? That's why we've got the trustees, to make sure that the money is spent properly. Not that we don't trust Mike, if we gave it to him, he's going to spend it wrong. But any of us could not quite have the wisdom that we need a group wisdom, don't we? And we need help. Yeah, we need the help. So, and one day you might be asked to be a trustee. So that's important, because we're always changing them as time goes on. And let's go on to 2 Corinthians 9. And by the way, we want to be public in the way we give, but bearing in mind sometimes we have to be private. You understand that, don't you? Sometimes, if someone's in need, we're not going to broadcast it up there and say, oh, by the way, Johnny in the back of our, he's really poor at the moment and he needs some help. Well, that'd be a bit embarrassing, wouldn't it? So we're not going to do that. But generally, it's a public thing. You can see what the money's spent on. But we might say, we gave this gift as a private gift, and it's between us and this person. Yeah, you understand that? Obviously, because we've got to protect people sometimes, don't we? So, okay, that's 2 Corinthians 9. It says this, remember this, I think this is an important one, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each one of you should give what you've decided in your heart to give. And there's only one person that can see what's on your heart.
That's the Lord.
That's the Lord. That's what, well, that's the Lord. You should be preaching this, baby. That's the Lord. That's the Lord. But you know, each of us is giving what's in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, you have all your need and you will abound in every good work. So, if we're a farmer and we don't sow many seeds, we're not going to get much of a harvest. We sow lots of seeds, we'll get a harvest. So we've got to do things in a wholehearted manner, not holding it back. The old farmer, he gave out loads and loads of seed, yeah? So that he'd get some back. It's a good gauge, a measure of ourselves. Am I giving what I should give? And it's possible to give too much. So you've got to be careful. Yeah? You know what I'm saying? And not I'm saying the Lord's going to criticise you for giving too much, but you've got to give according to your means. And you've got to think these things through. But it's a matter of the heart. Because Jesus said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. It's an interesting thing, and I will say this. People pray for me because of my ministry, but I know the people who give pray really regularly. Because if you put your money there, you're going to pray for it, aren't you? Because, man, that's important to me enough to give money to it. So, man, am I going to pray? Yeah? So, that's not suggesting that you should start giving to me so you pray for me. But or if you've never given to me, I'm not suggesting you don't pray. You understand what I'm saying, though? If you buy a really expensive car, you make sure you look after it, don't you? Because you've put your money in it. So we invest in things that's important to us. Okay. Last verse before the very last one. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but it's also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. When you give, what happens? Other people receive and they go, God, thank you for that. Yeah? I know when God's blessed me, I've got to God, thank you. And sometimes it's been financially. And I go, God, thank you. And sometimes when you give, someone comes back to you and says, man, did you really intend to give me that? And it's a great blessing for you, but it's a great blessing for them because they're going, thank God, I just needed that. Yeah? So it's marvellous that it overflows with thankfulness to God. That's wonderful when that happens. And we can't do that unless we've got the money to give or unless we're willing to give. It's more blessed to give than to receive. Last one. And I think Paul really hit it on the head here. Because he goes back to what he said at the beginning, talking about the Lord Jesus. Thanks be to God. We remember this at Christmas time, don't we? We often say this. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Do you know, when we look at his gift, it's unbelievable. It's indescribable. How can we describe the gift that he's given. However much we look into it, we realize it's generous, it's gracious, it's loving, it's caring. It's indescribable. We can never get to the bottom of this. It's incomprehensible that God of heaven should come down as a baby so that he could give his life for me. I'm so grateful to God. Keep thanking him. Keep blessing him. It's wonderful. It's incredible. We can't imagine how much it cost him. We can't imagine. We can look at Jesus and never fully understand the gift beyond all gifts. We never see the full value. Maybe one day when we see face to face, we'll understand. We give because we owe everything to him. As Mike said, I'm glad we agree, God owns everything. Everything I have is his, and even the breath we take each day belongs to him. Nothing. We have got nothing without him. And we continue to thank him for that. Mike's going to show you our little gift there, and because I'm finished, and I did it in 14 minutes. I'm the winner. Thank you.
Okay.
Oh, sorry, Mike, you might need it. And you might need it.
No, I'll use this, don't worry. So, I've done a little sheet which is just guidelines for giving based on quite a lot of the verses that you've heard already. And it's just something that if you wanted to look at it a little bit more, and I'll put those at the back so you can have one if you want one. Now, just talking about how we give, these days, in these days of technology, many people are giving through their bank and doing an online transfer. If you haven't given like that, and you want to give like that, you just need to talk to David, and he'll be very happy to receive stuff. He'll just need to obviously to know what's going on. And when you do that, it's useful if you just in the reference, because when you do an online transfer, there's a reference bit. It's worth just putting a note what it is. So if it's for the church, just put CBCF. Or if it's for food bank, put it for food bank. Or if it's for night shelter, you know, that sort of thing.
Doing it online, that's your bank.
Yeah.
Being anonymous,
yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't want to do it online. I'm anonymous.
It's all right. We have a system for that. This is our system for those who don't want to give online. It's an offertory box. Yeah. And so that will be somewhere. I'm not quite sure where it's going to be. It might be at the back. It might be at the side somewhere. And it's locked. So the money that's going into that, you know, would be, you know, will be safe. If you want to give, if you're a taxpayer and you're going to give through that, it'd be just as well if you can just make sure that David knows that you would like for us to claim gift aid, because he will just need your name and address, and you'll need to go on our gift aid list because we have to put in a thing sometime. Well, it's you get back. It's 22% tax, isn't it, at the moment?
Yeah.
So you
£100 per
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. You, if you pay tax, you've got to be a taxpayer. If you don't pay tax, you can't get gift aid. Well, they're not. No, it's that would be considered to be fraud by Her Majesty's government if you try to claim gift aid for when someone who's not paying tax, that will be considered to be fraud. So we have to be careful about that. That would bring down the charity commissioners on our backs very quickly. So as long as you are a normal taxpayer, in other words, you know, you pay tax at the normal rate of 22% or whatever it is, I think it's 22%, then we can claim back that tax. But if you're not a taxpayer, we can't claim it back. And you can only claim it back once on your money. You can't fiddle around with it and get it claimed back two or three different times. It's just once for each sum. But that's really for cash offerings. And then we will sort of keep a record of that so we know what's going into the fund. So there you go. So you've got two ways of doing it. One is doing it online. And if you're not sure about that, talk to me or David about it and we can explain to you about giving online. And then if you want to do cash, that can go in there. Yeah. And if you do want to do it by gift aid, you need to put it in an envelope with your name on it. And there will be, I've got envelopes on order, so that if you want us to claim back and you're giving by cash, then we will need to have it so that we know that. Otherwise, it would just get mixed up with all the money. So it could get confusing if we don't know who's doing what. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's it, folks. Thank you very much. Steve, you got something to say?
On a practical note, I don't know about you, but because we give online, giving then tends to disappear and we don't even notice it. And so what we're going to do, probably every week, we'll bring this forward at some point in the worship, and we'll do it as part of the worship rather than notices, otherwise it becomes just practical. It's a worship thing. I loved it when I was in Nigeria. You'll love this, because you guys know that. Those of you who come from Nigeria, I used to dance down the front, and it was a real act of worship. And it's lovely that happened, because some used to put a yam in, you know, because that's what they gave, that's what they had. And that's tremendous. So the whole point is that it's an act of worship. So whether you put, even if no money comes in here that week, that doesn't matter. We're saying, we know we need to give to God, and maybe you have online, but we're reminding ourselves, it's easy to forget you're giving online, because it just goes out your bank, nobody notices, like a standing order, isn't it? And say, so, God, we thank you for the gift, because we're thanking God, and so we're going to thank God, and then we'll bring it to the front, and then we'll put it to the back again, that you can give when you want. We're not going to hand it round. And also, we'll say to visitors, this isn't for you, this is not for us to run the church, you know. We're not drafting your money because you've come here today. Our whole point is that it's an act of worship, but we thank God and we thank God that we've got the money, man, you know. And then we can give to him. And we also ask for wisdom, that the trustees and the church will have wisdom to spend the money properly. We pray for Andrew, because you know we give to Andrew. Pray for Andrew, you know, if we're particularly giving a gift to him, of course we pray. Yeah. So if you're to do with a worship team or anybody, in fact, I had an idea. We could ask anybody in the congregation, there had to be someone up here, anybody, we won't jump on you, but a worship leader might say to you, Babs, this week, could you come up the front at that time and give thanks for the offering? Because that would be good for everybody to be involved. So, because we thank God that we've got the means to give. And something to give. Thank God.